Let's welcome Whitney Raver to the program. She is a Democratic candidate running for the State House of Representatives from District 30. She joins us on the phone now. Whitney, thanks for being here.
Oh, that's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Give us an idea of why now for you, why run for State House at this particular time?
At this particular time, it might seem actually kind of funny. I just had a baby, moved here recently, but I got a call from our Democratic chair, and she said, you know, we need people like you. Mm-hmm. And I told her no the first time, and I told her no the second time. Then I started talking to people in my community, and I asked them, you know, would it be right for me to do this? And the stories that I heard and the pleas from my community made me put everything aside and decide that, yeah, I can serve my community this way. I should serve my community this way, and here I am.
Wow. What kind of stories and what kind of issues were they talking about that was so important that they felt that you needed it and they needed a new voice to represent that district?
Healthcare. You hear so many stories of people in dire need of actual health care, not just the right to pay an insurance company, but the right to receive the kind of care that we need, deserve, and will preserve our liberty and right to pursue happiness.
So give us an idea of what some of those the state legislative solutions might be here in South Dakota to the health care crisis, as they're defining it.
We're in a unique position to implement a universal healthcare system. The only disruptor I ever hear from anyone is who's going to pay for it. We're already paying for it. We're handing over thousands of dollars. Personally, my family spends $12,000 a year, that's a quarter of our income, on handouts to insurance companies, and then we still have to beg. So we're still paying for it. The difference is writing legislation that gives us an opportunity to purchase these services in bulk. It's the same as coming together with your family or your friends to go down to Sam's Club and buy in bulk. You get more and better for less.
Do we do that in some ways already through some of the healthcare services that we purchase, or the exchange, you know, the federal exchange? How is it different?
A lot of people are getting the opportunity to pay more to cover people who need more. And that's a lot different from what I'm suggesting. And in this other option, we are spending directly to the government, and that is being regulated by the government in a nonprofit system. So we're not raising EpiPen prices by 1,000% to make sure that the stockholders are happy. We're keeping it at cost so that the people who need them are happy.
Let's talk about some other top priorities for you. You've mentioned spending in our home state and how you think that needs to be controlled and reprioritized.
Absolutely. We see with all of these scandals and things that money is just disappearing. We spend so much on trying to get companies to come here and start business here. Sadly, a lot of oil companies and pipelines, without asking the question, is this beneficial to our community? We don't need more $9 an hour jobs. That's not keeping parents at home. That's not putting food on the table. And with the housing disparities that we're facing, especially in District 30, what I know for sure, these right-to-work jobs are not going to cut it. And the risk that we're taking on these coal jobs and these pipeline jobs, we're footing the bill for that too. When we refuse to tax these corporations for the use of our home, when we refuse to make them prove that they're going to clean up when there is crisis, we're saying that we're going to socialize the risk for you. We're going to foot the bill for your mistakes. And we're going to, pay out in subsidies as food stamps and other bottom line help, because we're not holding them accountable for wages either.
You mentioned, again, on your website, ravenforhouse.org, about small business and sort of revitalizing efforts to help people innovate and start small businesses in South Dakota. What do you think needs to be done in that regard?
So my generation is we're getting a second name as the side hustle generation. We grew up on entrepreneurship. We love it. But the burden of health insurance and outrageous student loan debt is making it incredibly difficult to start businesses outside the tourism industry. And again, with the scandals that are coming up and with the lack of disposable income, that tourism industry isn't substantial enough to keep up our entire community. So addressing issues of student loan debt, making it easier for people to start businesses, to get the education that they need to start businesses, not just schooling, but there's a gap between your college degree and business creation.
Hmm. Give us a little idea about some of your background. You mentioned sort of being invited and asked to run and hearing from voters in your district saying, yes, please take on this challenge. But what in your background, talk about your family a little bit, or your education, or things that sort of got you where you are today that you think are helping on this journey now?
Okay. Well, I'm the oldest of five kids. And my stepfather is my dad and the light of my sense of humanity. He fell ill when I was about 10 years old. My mom got sick and left. And by 13, their relationship was completely over. So my dad asked me, he told me, I'm ill and you're going to have to take on a lot of responsibility if we're going to keep this family together. So what do you want to do? And I told him, I wanted to travel. We'd already traveled a lot. I loved traveling. I loved meeting new people. I've learned how to make biscuits from elders in Georgia to making mice and shaving sheep in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And just, I've learned so many wonderful things that we continue to travel. And I loved traveling until in 2006, I broke down in the Black Hills. And then I didn't want to travel anymore. I felt like I was at home.
Yeah. When we have all these candidates have been coming on this program, and one of the things that strikes me is the vitality of the conversation. So the votes are important, and who voters send to peer is critical, but it also occurs to me that some of the conversations are just as important. Are you finding that too, that people have a longing to talk about issues from a variety of sides? And is there a way to help move those forward into a collaboration with people from both parties? Or are you seeing an increase in division? That's about five questions in one. So just maybe you could answer the question about the conversation itself and the importance of it.
So the conversation is why I actually got into this. My background is in anthropology before I moved into public health, so conversations and watching people shift in their conversations is just as beautiful as watching flowers bloom to me. And what I'm finding is when you break out of the mass media buzzwords, you can talk to people about the things that matter to us. We care about our elders. We care about our land. We care about our children. And when you go to someone respectfully and say, hey, we made different choices, but we made different choices because we want the same outcome. I respect what you've done in the name of our country. I respect what you've done in the name of your family. And you reach out to these people, the barriers are gone. I've had extraordinary conversations. I'm running as a Democrat. I've had extraordinary conversations with people wearing their Trump gear. It doesn't matter when you get down to the crux of it. I believe that the division has been purposefully created. You can read about it word for word in some of the texts that came out of the Nuremberg trials. It's been manufactured. So when you swallow it and walk up to somebody and have a conversation, we're people, we're family, and we all know that. I'm enjoying the conversation. I got into this race to affect the conversation, and what I'm seeing is inspiring.
Whitney Raver is running for South Dakota State House of Representatives from District 30. She joined us on the phone from Custer. Whitney, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you again.